Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling revelry.
No, no.
Sibling revelry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling revelry.
That's good. So on today's episode, we sit down with Zoe and Maddie Deutsch.
They were awesome.
And Deutsch.
They were amazing. I mean, we say that about everyone. Imagine if we're like, this one's not that great.
Yeah.
Like we didn't really dig this one.
No, I know. We
That's
love everybody.
Case,
I was just talking about that today because we're going to go do this Ellen.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited about that.
It's going to be so fun.
I am.
But I was saying how fun it is for us to do this because we're literally interested more in people connections and like how everyone at some point gets fucked up.
It's
you know,
true.
It's like, doesn't matter where you come from, what you do, like, we're all fucked up.
We're all fucked up a little bit.
And then out of that comes someone's, you know, characteristics and then their dynamic.
Yeah.
As older siblings or
and with Zoe and Maddie, it was because they were very candid.
Yeah, they were.
Which was really fun.
And they were so cute, but they're very different.
Yeah.
Super different.
Yeah.
They're close in age.
But very open with each other and how they feel about each other. Unafraid to sort of say, I don't like this about you or this is what I love about you.
And they're still in it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know?
They're like
still
they're so young.
They're still like evolving.
So Zoe, you know, and her career is starting to take off. She's just so beautiful and so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Maddie is like
Smarty.
Much more in her head.
Yeah.
So Howie Deutsch, their father, directed a film that I was in. And so I worked with Howie. So I know Howie pretty well. So it was fun to hear the girls talk about their dad from their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I know him from a business perspective. So that was cute.
And then of course their mommy is Leah Thompson.
Yeah. I mean, you know, someone I think if you're an 80s child, you
knew
very well.
Oh, yeah. Just go watch Back to the Future.
She was great on Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
Anyway, this was fun.
It was really fun. It was really free and fun.
Energetic.
Yes, super comfortable.
Very millennial.
Shoes were off. Everyone was nestled into the couches and chairs. It was very free. Very fun. And we'll end with this. Zoe has a sweating problem.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Well, no, we connected on that.
At the end of this podcast, you guys had made, you got both you and Zoe.
Oh, yeah.
You guys were sweating your asses off.
It's an energetic thing. When you're a very energetic person, you know, it's coming out everywhere.
Very expressive sweat.
Oh, Zoe has a new movie called Buffalo. It just came out. This is really exciting. This is why we're airing this quickly. We really just did them, but she produced this movie. She's 25 years old. You know, I think that it says a lot about who she is as a lover of film and what we have to come to see in Zoe. I think she's going to be an incredibly successful woman in this industry.
Oh, yeah.
So this is really exciting to be 25 and to have accomplished this and to lead this and to get this film. It was really cool.
Well, I was a bit green with envy when we were talking about the film that they all together did as a family.
I think green is kind of your color.
It is.
Green with envy just sort of...
Well, we're getting close
sort of
to
like
St. Patrick's
it
Day.
It films your whole life.
I love green. I just bought these green shoes, these Air Force
Ones.
All I do
is buy you green for Christmas
I love
every
green.
Year. I bought you a green sweater that's one of my favorites ever. Do you still have it?
Oh, yeah, I have it.
Are you
I
sure?
Wear it. Yes, I do.
I
have everything in my... I mostly wear green.
Yeah.
I like green.
It's a great color for you. Green and browns, like a nice...
Yeah, like a khaki.
Yeah.
I like army green, too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was army green with envy. Because they got to do a movie. They all did a movie together with mom, dad, and sisters.
I know.
And
so
how fun is that? I want to do that at some point.
Anyway.
All right.
So here is
Zoe and Maddie.
Deutsch. I wish they could have seen what
You just did.
Enjoy. I haven't seen so many things that you've done, by the way.
I haven't seen any of the things you've done.
I know. I have. I loved you on Nashville. That was my shit
I know,
for a
Nashville's
while.
The best. I did. I watched every episode
so you,
of Nashville.
So you're
she watched
I'm lying.
Nashville.
Yeah, I'm lying.
I love
I'm
no, but Nashville.
It's
weird.
But it's funny because we're in the same situation where your parents are in the business and we don't participate in each other's careers, really.
No, us
meaning,
too.
Meaning we don't watch each other's stuff that much. We don't talk about it a lot.
No, we're not that invested.
Functions.
Like, we're invested, but we're not so invested
no,
that we
there's
we
sort other of well, things I,
we have
to
yeah
do.
We have the same situation, but I've kind of come to, I've started to examine that sometimes for me personally it comes across like I've said things in passing that when I read them later it looks kind of gross. I'll be like, I've never seen that, I don't know what, you know, like almost mm-hmm. too flippant about it, where I in reality I'm actually super proud to be a part of a family of nepotism. Like, I mean, it sounds silly, but I love that we all, my family, like we all do the same thing and we all can share experiences and talk to each other and get advice and whatever. But I also have, it's also like I'm not supportive because we don't sit around Friday night and go like, all right, mom, let's watch Back to the Future.
But
like,
you have the same thing that I have, which is that people would look at you and immediately be like, oh, you're her daughter. You know, you don't have that because you look different, you know.
Oh, she just said you look different.
No, it is a you have hit on something really interesting, and you might be like one of the few people in the world that knows and understands that, where like even casting directors will say to Zoe, like, you look just like her, which I'm sure when you started had the same.
Yeah, but I actually think I don't look anything like my mom.
You don't look like mom necessarily, but right. But you are, there's a, you embody her.
Yeah, there is a little bit of a weird thing because anytime that you're trying to kind of assert yourself as your own actress, you know that not only is it like, not only is it something people want to talk about, but it's something that they love to talk, like they, you know, they love your mom, they love our mom, and so when they see you and they see the similarities, they get excited, and you kind of, in the beginning of my career, it was like, oh, okay, how do I veer the conversation away from this and just focus on the movie. And then as you get older, you're sort of like, oh, fuck it, we'll just talk about it. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah.
Because you love it, you know. I mean, I at this point now it's like I look at my mom and I'm just like, oh, she's the best. I mean, she's just the best.
But I just love that you guys all participated in a creative endeavor together and making that movie.
So we did this movie called The Year of Spectacular Men, where I wrote it and our mom directed it. Me and Zoe starred in it together. Zoe produced it. At the time, we wanted to build a vehicle to do something where no one was giving us the opportunity to do it. At the time, like, no one was really saying to our mom, who had done a ton of directing, a ton of episodic television, no one was saying, like, you should direct this movie. And Zoe was really young at the time. No one was saying, like, you should produce. And definitely no one was giving me the reins to, like, write a feature film. So at the time, it worked like a really good vehicle for all of us to do something we hadn't gotten a chance to do yet.
Right.
But for you guys, like, everyone's been in the business so long and doing it so hard for so many years and so successfully and at a level, it's like,
yeah,
I pressure. Understand maybe why it's not quite like the same.
The pressure would be.
Right. Well, what's fun though now, as I said, we don't really talk about the business much, but I do think that what we have, which is great, is sort of the bounce off. Anyway, let's go to the beginning. Let's go to babies, when you guys were born. First of all, where were you born? Where did you grow up?
In the valley.
Maddie was first, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're the
three
oldest.
3.5 years older. Yeah.
And then when my mom was pregnant with me, she came up to Maddie and said, I'm going to have a kid. I don't know if it's a girl or a boy. And Maddie looked at her with like devil eyes and was like, oh, I know, that's Zoe. And like turned around and walked out the other, like just knew 100%. So she named me.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know how you were conceived? I love that question. I never asked you that.
And I have no idea, but we know how Zoe was conceived.
I'm a natural disaster baby.
Are you?
My mom was so traumatized from the Northridge earthquake that she had sex with my father. And that's how I was born
like
9 months.
That
like she literally thinks it was like 2 days after the Northridge earthquake she got pregnant.
Oh my God. By the way, it was.
That was crazy.
But explain everything about my personality. Like, I am a result of a natural disaster. Like, it all adds up 100%.
No, you were little. Do you remember it?
I do remember it.
Yeah. That must be one of your first memories.
It is. I do remember getting taken out of my crib, and I do remember sitting in the car and listening to the radio.
It was so crazy.
Oh my God.
It was not great for the city of Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but I'm here because of it, guys.
No, this is true. So when she was born, were you accepting of your new little sister, or were you like, fuck this, I'm the queen and now my throne is sort of being taken over?
And that was the last 28 years. No, I'm kidding.
I think
me and you have definitely passed the baton, and in our lives as siblings, I think we've passed the baton back and forth of like who the focus is
you guys,
on a little
growing
bit more.
Up to give you some Maddie is so good at everything. She's one of those assholes where like she's good at everything.
Mm-hmm. You and can tell by the bio. It's like
psychotic.
Writer, actor, musician.
I know. She's like gymnast.
Yeah. No.
Cirque du Soleil reformer.
No, I'm not. Growing up, no one knew. It was just Maddie's sister. And Maddie was like a champion horseback rider, like potentially like, is she going to train for the Olympics or not? Like traveling the world, singing, like an accomplished jazz singer, like an amazing, amazing talent and an athlete and a person and super engaging and interesting and interested and like good at everything. Mm. And I have no complex about it at all. It's all good and I'm fine. And that's what's crazy about it.
Yeah,
I'm literally bad at everything. Like I'm one of those people who like is literally bad at everything.
Really?
I had to act. What else does one do? I just act like I'm good at shit, but I'm really, really bad at all of it. So that's sort of the
That's
the
not
background.
True. Zoe is a really brilliant person, but all of that is probably the No, you are.
Thing.
Thanks, sis. Thanks.
You are. I could list the ways, but I think probably all of that and being a younger sibling is like the impetus for why you have maybe found success at a like very young age.
How old are you?
I would be willing to guess.
25.
Yeah.
But when were you guys tight from the beginning? Like when you were old enough to understand each other's presence, like 5 and 3 or 6 and 4?
We fought a lot. There's like the story goes that like Zoe came home from the hospital and was there for a week. And I was so excited that she was there and I was with her every day, like hanging out with her. And then after a week, I went over to my mom and said, okay, when's the baby going home? That's the story. I don't obviously remember that. I was like really little, but
she's still waiting for the baby to go home.
That's right.
But no, we fought a lot. And then I think we stopped. My understanding of it is we were able to get a lot closer when I left home and went to college in New York, because I think it was the first time for Zoe that she was able to have both of my parents focus like completely on her. And I don't know. I think that was good for us. I don't remember us getting close until after I left for college.
That's pretty much how Oliver and I were. I mean, we were
even later though.
We were close.
Yeah.
But we weren't like, I mean, no. We fought all the time and it was like, you know, but I think we connected differently when he went to college.
I think then after college though is when we got closer. But we've never been closer than right now.
I feel the same way.
For real.
I feel the same way about our relationship. I mean, we live next door to each other and I'm pretty much the most codependent person in the world. And I also really like you and I value your opinion and your mind and your stuff.
But
feel like we're closest.
But growing up though, even in your teen years, you guys weren't even close.
I think teens were the worst.
Well, 3.5 years for girls is a crazy difference.
It is.
Hormonally, we're totally different human beings.
It's got to be different with boys because I have two boys.
I was just going to say that.
They're 12. I have 12, 9, and 6. My two boys are the oldest. And they are homies. They are best friends. They love each other so much. So maybe it's the girl.
What is your age difference?
2.5, 2.75 years. Yeah. What did you not like about her?
I say 3.
About Zoe?
Don't know.
What was the dynamic?
You saw your younger sister and you're like, oh God.
Was it just like typical annoyance stuff? Like,
well, let me just first say this. I was an incredibly arrogant kid. Like I had an overabundance of confidence that then being in my 20s has been a nice long slide into humility. For all intents and purposes, I was confident. I felt loved. I was a pretty successful kid. So what that does is then when you become an adult, you're like, oh, fuck. You know what I mean? Like being, you don't want to do well in high school. It means after high school, you're in trouble. So like,
you hear that, kids?
So yeah, if you're struggling, yeah. No,
be a
really.
Fuck up in
fuck
high
up
school.
Now.
I think I was like arrogant. And so I didn't make a ton of, I don't think I made a lot of space. Like I was very focused on whatever my world was. I was super close with my friends and whatever I was doing. I think I, and I'm sure this was my fault, but Zoe was really loud and wanted a lot of attention. And that I'm sure you're shocked to hear that.
Me? Wait, but you want to know something about me being loud? My mom got my hearing check. She was like, something's wrong. Something's up. The doctor was like, Leah, I need you to sit down. She was like, what's up? What's the matter? And they're like, your daughter Zoe has supersonic hearing. She has the greatest hearing we've ever seen, meaning that's she like just me. Has an attention problem. Like,
right. No, but I think that it was a result of me not really making space. I didn't make a lot of space for you in my life. So, of course, you were going to talk loud.
Well, you had to be the loudest
and try
voice.
Try to get attention so that you were like, make space for me, make space, I think is like sort of what it was.
I still am struggling with that. I get chronic laryngitis, which right. There's nothing wrong with my. Right. With this, like yeah. I've done so many and it obviously is psychosomatic. It's obviously like I still don't feel heard, which is wild because I'm trying to unpack it the older I get. And it's like even right now I'm losing my voice. Like I don't know what is happening. It's super, super weird.
Why do you feel like you haven't been heard? I mean, starting even at a younger age.
My earliest memory is driving down Ventura Boulevard. You know, the car wash with the hand.
Yeah.
And my sister and my sister and my dad were pointing at a billboard and laughing at it. And I was overcome with shame because I couldn't read yet. I was little. I was a baby. I couldn't read. So I just laughed with them and pretended like I understood what was going on. Like I just wanted to understand and fit in and feel like I was a part of feeling like in a constant state of on the outside. Right. But yeah, I mean, that's...
Wow, I wonder what that is. I wonder where that comes from.
Younger sibling syndrome.
It's from
pretty
being
textbook,
a younger
one.
Like.
Tell us about your dad. I could tell you a little bit, but let's hear about it from you guys. Start with dad first.
I still want to know what you didn't like about me, though. I mean, no, you talk about Howie. You have a better grasp and understanding of explaining our parents.
Our parents are... both really amazing artists. They are two opposite sides of the spectrum. Our dad, Howie's a director, but he's like your very self-aware, neurotic Jew from New York.
Yeah, total mensch.
Total mensch. Yeah. And then our mom is like Irish, really humble beginnings, like Midwestern, completely brilliant, but like wants everybody to be happy. Like, please be happy. Please, everybody be okay. On the other side. So I think the culture of our home growing up was very much like the sort of self-awareness and expression on our dad's side of like, let's talk about it. Let's get in there. And then on my mom's side, while she was very expressive, it was a lot of like, put your head down, move forward. Don't get bogged down by the details. Keep going. Both of our parents grew up in the arts, but our dad, he grew up comfortable, whereas our mom also came from a really artistic background, but grew up with very little and not a lot of money. And so I think our mom's biggest fear for us as children was that we would lose all perspective and just be totally entitled and spoiled. And I'm sure we are both entitled and spoiled in some ways, but she was super strong in the house, was like, I will not raise
spoiled kids.
Really? Yeah. Like, she just didn't want the worst of the worst. I think she knew no matter what, we grew up in privilege with really advantageous situations. We had great educations, all that stuff. But she was really intense with us about never letting us ever speak in a rude way to somebody or get out of hand. Like, she was intense. Yeah.
But she was very, one of the things that I think is super cool about our mom is that she was so delicate in not squashing our spirits while also like, I think making sure we were disciplined. I think, I don't know what that's like as parents, you know, to find that balance.
Very well said, because honestly, that's what That's what I try to do, because I think you need firm. You need to be there. Need discipline, and I'm like that as well. I mean, my number one thing is be good kids, be polite, look people in the eyes,
do you your know dishes. What
I mean? Yeah, yeah, I wish.
Make your bed.
But at the same time, there's a walking that fine line of not squashing that spirit, not you know, because sometimes unruliness is not a bad thing,
right?
You know, in my eyes, you know?
And I know, like, I was a total contrarian as a little kid. I wanted to say no to everything, and she kind of recognized that it wasn't that I was just being a dick. It was that I was seeking connection and challenge. I wanted, like, to actually have a conversation with an adult, and I quickly learned that if I said no to them, then they would have to explain. So she, like, saw that and nurtured it, and was, she's such an amazing mother. My dad too, good guy. No, I'm kidding. He's a great dad too. But my mom, she really is, like, such an amazing, amazing mother. I don't know. I have no idea how you...
When you guys were kids, was your mom working a lot, or was she more focused on the kids?
One thing they did do that I thought was great is they would work one on, one off. They would try to not both work at the same time.
Same with our parents.
Right. So that, like, at least one person was in LA, and they would also always include us. So we would always go to set, and and this must be so hard when you're a mom, but my mom, at least the way that I remember it and my feelings are around it, is that she never acted guilty for working. Like, I'm so sorry mommy's leaving. She didn't do that. She would be like, hard work is good. Hard work means money. Hard work means you guys get to keep going to the school you're going to, you know? And so it was like we had a positive association. My experience of it. I don't know if it's yours.
No, I definitely feel the same way.
It sounds like since they didn't work at the same time, that they were very aware that when they were hands-on, they were so hands-on that when they had to go to work, they were quite happy going to work. That they knew what the balance was.
They gave us other things that helped, I think, stabilize us too. Like, we had literally the same nanny our entire lives, so we had somebody in that was really stable. I remember my mom also, as an adult, she told me that she had asked other actresses and other people who worked in film, like, what do you do with your kids? And one thing they said was give them a baby blanket so they can take the blanket with them when you're on location, and so they always have something that feels like home for them. So if you're, like, moving around or
it's been
scouting,
a trying experience now that I'm single for the first time in my life, and when I bring a baby blanket over to you guys' house, they're like, the fuck?
Yeah.
They're like, maybe we have to sit down and talk about this.
So he's like, so your first blanket comes
still
out.
Looking for that stability.
They're like, literally, not joking. Rainbows comes everywhere with me. And Rainbows is not small.
Oh my, that is so funny. So, you know, I have to say, I don't have one blanket, but I am one. I do bring my blanket and a pillow. Like, I do bring my home with me.
Yeah.
What about dad? Because dad's a director, and that's a year of your life, pretty much, from start to finish.
Just was such a different time when we were growing up. Like, if you worked for the studios and you had a bomb, you didn't work for 5 years after. Yeah. It was not like it is now. So he would be fully absorbed in it. Yeah. And then it, like, got, God forbid, like, it didn't do well. Yeah. Then he would be home for a while. Yeah. So, like, she could kind of go work. But that movie jail thing, I think then, was way more real than it is now.
Okay, so now, when do you think you guys both got the bug? I mean, Maddie, let's start with you, because you have multiple things that you are involved in. Like, you act.
SOS.
You write. You sing. Or do you write music?
Yeah, both.
Both. And you, I mean, so you're kind of...
She cooks, she designs.
Yeah, you're kind of, you've got your hands in a lot of different areas.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
You wear a lot of hats. Yeah.
Zoe, you
answer. What were you
going to
say, Zoe?
The only thing she didn't do was act, which is why I did it when she went off to college. So she goes off to college to sing, and I was like, I'll act because that's all I can do, because that's the one thing she doesn't do. And then she comes back from college and starts acting too.
So when did you start getting have the acting bug, Zoe?
I feel like my whole life. I think I similarly came out of the womb like, put me in there. Like, I was like so like, we visited one time a set that my dad, like, it was called The Replacements. And I, there was
football,
like,
movie.
Yeah, football. That's a great movie. I remember and that. I was like, I begged the costume designer to make me a cheerleading outfit because I was like, maybe if I have the costume, I could just sort of end up in the scene.
Extra.
But like, you can't have a little kid who's like 5 years old be like a cheerleader with the, like, I was just so, I so wanted to do it. I just loved performing. I loved entertaining. I loved making people laugh was the best. I'm so grateful that my father made me feel like my import, like, it was never, I specifically my dad, like, I would, I mean, I think also there's bad things to this, but when I would make him laugh, I felt like the most interesting, special person in the world, rather than placing my value in my looks, which I think is so often a thing if you are a pretty young girl. Like, that was never my, I never felt like that was where my value was placed. I don't know if that's a bit of a tangent, but anyway, I would make people laugh and I would be so, like, it would make me so happy.
Oh, God.
And then I would make people cry and I'd be like, oh, this is also,
this is very powerful
manipulative Scorpio shit. I don't know. I was.
Oh, I can relate to that. Though there's nothing better than making your family laugh.
Nothing.
Like, making people laugh is like my number one goal in life. I love it so much.
You excel at that.
Well, but making Kate laugh is like one of the great joys of my life. It really, really is.
I know what you mean about going and getting the costume designer to make you an outfit. Like, when my mom was shooting Wildcats, she had a daughter in it that was a little bit older than me.
Brandy.
And I was like, I was her stand-in. I was like, anytime I was there, I'll just sit in front of the camera. I just needed to be in it. I watched everything. I observed everything. It was like,
my first word was lipstick in a makeup trailer. My first steps were on set. Like, everything, I grew up on a set. It's where I feel cozy. It's where I feel at home. It's what I love. But to the point of, like, dressing the part, I only wanted to do things that I was bad at, because I'm bad at everything, like tennis, if I could dress like a tennis player, if I could play the part of a tennis player, if I could, like, exist in that world and assume that life of the tennis player, or like,
you would, like, show up with, like, you know, the headband and the arm the whole outfit.
Yes, with, like, the tennis ball skin. I couldn't do it, but I was like, I was there. I'm like, ready to go.
It's genetic. I don't care what anyone says. Like, all of our grandparents worked in the arts. Like, our grandfather gave Buddy Holly his first music publishing contract. Our grandma started Frank Sinatra's fan club and went on the road with him when she was 13. Our other grandma was the first female disc jockey in America. It's psychotic. Like, I really believe that it's genetic. This stuff gets, like, passed down, and I think you have an inclination. So I always find it weird when people think that it's 100% a choice to then go work in the entertainment business. Like, it's, for me, it really feels like it's just sort of part of you. I don't know. I do think that there's validity to what you're saying.
When people always ask, you know, what would you do if you weren't a performer or an actor? Or I have no answer. Like, there's no part of me that ever wanted to be a veterinarian or, like, a lawyer or, like, a doctor.
So much school for all those things.
But also,
I mean, what are you, fucking crazy?
And also, though, like, you're a musician as well, and you're a dancer as well, and you're an actress as well. Like, you understand all those things are part and parcel to one thing. They make you a better artist. I also think it's really weird in this business when people go, but what are you? And you're like, I'm a creative person. I don't know what to tell you. I know I do all these different things. And guess what? I know they make me better, period. They make me better.
Do you ever feel like, though, that you need to focus on one to really sort of, or are you good sort of spreading yourself thin with everything that you do? Or do you even feel like you spread yourself thin?
Because I'm a writer.
Right.
So when I write something, then I understand that all the shit I ever was bad at or didn't do great at all comes into play with that. Because, you know, when I write something, then I know how I want to direct it, and I know how I want to score it. I know how I want to music soup it. I know how I want to treat actors. I know. So, but
do you ever find that when you write something and then you give it to people to read and you get feedback, that a lot of the times you're like, why did I ask for feedback?
Family feedback is hard.
Have you gotten annihilated ever? Where it's like, I'm sorry, honey, this is shit. I don't know what the fuck you're doing.
I think I know it's trash before they do.
Oh, really?
So even if I send it to them, I'm like, I know it's fucking trash. They're about to tell me it's fucking trash. Zoe, number two,
have you ever, like, read something and had to judge it and say, eh.
She doesn't send it to me or ask for my opinion. That's really not our dynamic. She does not need my validation in the way that I need hers. Every movie I've ever done or auditioned for or anything, I've asked her, begged her to read it, to watch my audition tape, to help me pick the outfit out that I'm going to wear to the audition or the self-tape, FaceTime her at every fitting. I can't make a fucking decision without this goddamn asshole, and she won't send me shit.
You're busy with your own career.
Fuck you. I would love for you to care.
Do you feel like
they're excited they got into the meeting?
But I don't.
Hold on, Zoe.
You don't value it.
But hold on. Zoe, do you feel like that you could offer insight? You know, do you think that if she gave you a script?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You don't know, but do you feel
I absolutely don't feel like I could.
Oh, well, so. Well, then.
There's no argument here, then. Absolutely, but the
We've
argument
gone
is
off
that
the rails.
No argument, just feelings.
It's just feelings. There's no argument.
That's.
Right. Oh, you just want to be. Yeah, right, exactly.
I just want to pretend for 2 seconds that. Maybe Hold on, wait a minute.
But I think you might be selling yourself short.
That's
here
not true at all. I have asked you specifically.
It's part of the neuroses that she took on from her father. She clearly has some of dad's.
Yeah, I actually
neurotics.
Am a lot more like my dad. Look like my mom, but
and
I'm
you're
a lot
more like
my dad.
Yeah. You know what they say about, like, as an actor, that you're only as good as the people that you're working with.
Right.
Well, you make my accent terrible.
Right.
So the truth is that I have to think so hard.
Sakara.
I have to think so hard
Sakara.
About my accent when I'm
right. I know, but then let's do another accent because this
so
British
bad.
Thing is making my head spin like a top on Windsor Palace.
No. I love the English because
I'm going to pull it off.
I'm going to pull all of these things that are just so wonderful. Mm. And I can just be like, oh, it's blasphemy. I don't know why I just said blasphemy, but I did.
Okay.
So Sakara.
Sakara is an amazing food service.
Yes. So I was one of the first people to actually experience Sakara. Mm. I really liked it. It's a food delivery service.
Yes.
They package the food. It comes to your house. It makes your life a lot easier.
How come they haven't sent me anything? I haven't gotten any Sakara.
I don't know. I think we should ask them.
Oh, okay.
But you can use our code.
Ooh.
Like everybody else.
That is right. Our code, sakara.com/sibling.
That is the code.
Yes.
But let's talk about what it is. It's organic.
Organic.
Right? It's ready-to-eat meals.
Mm-hmm. Plant-based ingredients. Yes.
Right? They're designed to boost your energy, improve your digestion. Along with the meals, it's not just the meals. They also send you some daily wellness essentials, mm-hmm. yes, like supplements, herbal teas, to help support the nutrition,
mm-hmm.
boost results. They have their best-selling metabolism super powder, which is quite popular.
Oh. I'm just going to agree and make noises while you talk. Uh-huh.
I just really like it.
I love it.
I think it's really good. I think it's one of the better ones if you need a food delivery service. And they keep your points in check, you know?
Mm-hmm. Points.
Well, for me, points. Yes.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah.
And right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to sakara.com/sibling or enter sibling at checkout. That's Sakara. SAKARA.com/sibling to get 20% off your first order. Sakara.com/sibling. Tap the Rockies.
Ollie, you speak to Coors Light.
It's my beer. I mean, if Oliver Hudson had a flag or a flower or a food.
Did you talk about yourself in the third person?
Yeah, Oliver Hudson's beer would be Coors Light. This is where I grew up. I lived in Colorado a lot. I went to school in Colorado. I drank Coors Light.
In Colorado. We still drink Coors Light in Colorado.
Oh, for sure. I had three Coors Light yesterday, actually.
You did?
Yeah.
Three?
I had three on the beach. On the beach. And I like the Blue Mountains. I know it seems crazy, but I actually like looking at the mountains turn blue and knowing that my beer is freezing cold.
Wait, is that what they do, yeah. right? So the mountains literally the mountains turn blue. So, okay, well, let's talk about what, it's a three-step cold process, yes. right? It's cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. So it's literally made to chill. And their whole thing is like, if you want to chill, you drink this
yeah.
chilled. We are
it's
the,
just chill.
It's the
You're
chilliest.
The chillest. It's the chilliest
it's just
chili.
Chili.
And then if you have chili with your Coors Light, it's like quad
That's
chill.
That's like a Colorado classic.
Oh, my God.
A little chili with a chili yeah, Coors on the right, side.
Right, totally. And then you're listening to the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Sounds like a real Colorado
it is. That's
90s.
A Colorado 90s yeah. day. Like sitting out.
Been there. I feel like I've been there.
Right. In an aluminum bucket of ice, Coors Light in there, eating chili, looking at the Rocky
oh
Mountains.
My God, you know what you just reminded me of? Going to the hot springs.
Cracking open the Coors Light.
You just remind me of going to the hot springs. Did you remember ever going down there?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, with yeah. like a big tub of...
Oh, yeah.
Of...
There's, yeah, we...
It was more of a cooler.
Sure.
Wasn't really a,
the whole
an
idea is,
tub. But.
The whole idea is to create the commercial for your real life. And then you're sitting around with your friends.
It takes so much time.
Just drink it.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Just take it from the fridge and drink it.
But I will say this. You must celebrate responsibly. Okay?
Absolutely.
It's imperative. The Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. If you girls were in siblings therapy, what would be the issues you would tackle with each other?
Childhood, because that sets up for everything, right? No,
I wouldn't
you think
say childhood
now. Oops. Okay, I guess we need to go.
But like we're sitting down in a session, and it's like, okay, we're here. What are we talking about? Why are we here for you girls? Why are we in therapy?
Go for it. She's looking at me like, can I go for it?
I'm really curious what your answer is right now.
No, I'm curious what your answer is right now.
But I feel like I always answer everything first because I can't
first.
Shut the fuck up.
Oldest
so why
first.
Don't you answer?
Old, I'm the therapist.
I literally can't keep my mouth shut. It's
oldest
like the worst
first,
character.
Go.
Girls, I'm the therapist. Why don't you go first because you're the oldest. Okay, Maddie?
I think we have some dynamics maybe that are a little unhealthy but like baked in. And sometimes I feel like it's a cycle we can't get out of.
Like what?
Like sometimes...
like what?
Like sometimes I feel that... We're either joined completely at the hip and totally involved in each other's lives. And, you know, like we'll be together on a trip and we're with each other nonstop for 2 weeks straight and blah, blah, blah. And we're really tight and we're working out our shit and blah, blah, blah. Or we're completely apart. We don't know what's going on with each other. I'm not sharing with you. You're not sharing with me. And then when we do kind of try to bridge the gap, it is like fraught. And I don't know what that is. That would maybe be the first thing I would say when I went to a therapist is that it feels like it's 0 or 100 and we try to get the pendulum to swing to the middle. It's like it's tense and I don't know what that is.
Yeah, or like what about the other day when we were at lunch and I was trying to tell and she thinks I keep secrets from her, which is so not true. Like I tell her everything but I was
Whoa.
I tell you fucking everything.
Whoa. I'm gonna call bullshit right there. You
bullshit.
Do keep it.
Mm? No, I
What
don't.
Are all those memes you post all the time on Instagram about Scorpios keeping secrets?
From everyone but you.
No, that's not true. You do
I don't
there's
keep
plenty
secrets.
Of stuff you don't tell me.
See, that's not true though.
And see,
I
we gotta
know
go to therapy.
You think I'm not telling you, but I'm telling you everything. And
we gotta go to therapy.
I'm in a transitional time in my life. Where I've said it before, I'm a very codependent person. I'm 25 and I've been in relationships, very long-term romantic relationships since I was 13. And this is the first time in my life, in my adult life, that I'm single. And so there are, again, it's a very transitional time in my life. And I was filling in Maddie about something and she sort of, I felt like she put a wall up and I was trying to determine what it was. And I think it was because she felt like I hadn't updated her quick enough. Like you felt like I was keeping something from you, but it was the actual opposite. I was trying to fill you in, but you were mad that I hadn't done it earlier. But I was like, it just, then, I, you know, I caught Studio the other day.
I told
you were talking about when there was a
important life events right. happen in the Valley Katsuya. At Katsuya.
Who paid?
We split
it.
Nice. Yeah. All right, hold on. So what would, because you gave yours. What about Zoe, yours for Maddie? Like you're in therapy. What would be the thing that you?
I don't know why she thinks that I'm keeping things from her because I'm not. And I.
It sounds like a matter of trust and sort of level of how you guys hold each other in importance.
Wait, but you have that with me too. Like what you said 10 minutes ago when you were like, you don't send me stuff to read. So it's sort of like there's content that you think I don't want to share with you and there's content I think you don't want to share with me. And maybe it's not the same content, but there is like a weird thing where we both think we're withholding with each other.
Do you trust your sister with information about your life?
Very much so.
And do you
trust that she won't judge it, but I do trust that she won't tell other people.
And do you trust her point of view on things? Like, would you want her advice?
I think it's actually the same thing. I do trust that you'll hold space for it, but I don't trust that you won't judge it. I think that's... Because I think I'm gonna take a gander here. My therapist would probably be proud of me for this. I think
I'm very proud of you.
Possibly. Thank you so much, Oliver.
Yeah.
I think it's possible that you and I both share the similar thing that it's like if the other person disapproves, we must change it. Or if the other person disapproves, it must be wrong. Or I must adjust.
So you don't trust yourself is what you're really saying.
I mean, I have huge trust issues with myself. I think right. you do too. Like,
so if she...
But we hold each other's opinion very high regard. So if we feel like the other person's judging, then it's like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. Am I supposed to change this?
Okay. So then, okay. So now, oh shit, she feels this way. What do you do?
Just doesn't call her.
Sometimes I think at that point, that's the point where we isolate from each other a little bit.
Okay, why?
I'm not sure. This is the cycle that I'm talking about.
Right.
That we get
are sure. It's there. There is a reason for it. But I think that when these things are happening, and I'm going to probably cut all this out, really, because it's kind of,
why?
Well, because.
You always say that.
So here's what I think.
We're going to edit the part that you said we're going to cut out.
That's the only part we're going to cut out.
Okay.
So, dear sister.
The thing is that your impulse, you're already assuming something that isn't happening.
Yes.
And you're not allowing yourself an opportunity to understand what it is that you're really feeling in terms of what would happen if your sister didn't approve and vice versa. It seems like, from what you're saying, it's like... Well, you're going, if and when, I'll just isolate myself. Like, so in your mind, you're already creating the pattern. So the question is, it's not about how you're going to receive it, but how are you going to change that experience?
We're both alpha. And I mean, it's very rare for like two siblings, if there's two siblings, for them both to be, just to both be big personalities like that. And you guys are too. Am I wrong? But you guys both seem like...
I'm probably more alpha than all
of you. No. I think we're alpha in different arenas.
Right, but
that's what it is. I always say about us, and I get the feeling, you just sharing space and being in the same room with you guys. Me and Zoe are sort of worthy adversaries. I get the feeling you guys... probably have that as well. Like one person does not kind of play second fiddle to the other.
Mm-hmm.
This makes it complicated when you are both super strong that way. And mm-hmm. I talk about that with you. I don't think it makes things easier. There's an anxiety attached to when we disagree or disapprove of one another, I think. Like it makes you anxious if you think that I disagree or disapprove. For me, it makes me anxious if I think...
But we disagree about all the time. Is that why I'm so anxious?
I think so.
Fuck, this is great, guys. Thanks for the free salad.
Don't you?
Figured it out. Everything's better now.
Don't you think there's an anxiety behind it?
There's an anxiety behind everything in my, everything I am 100% walking, talking
right,
anxiety.
Me too.
So definitely.
Me too. Yeah. We're both That's really so racked with anxiety.
Why?
You want to know how anxious I am? One of them bragging about how anxious. That's how neurotic.
No, I can brag
like,
too.
You want to know how anxious I am?
Hey, I'm more anxious than you.
I came out of the womb with this thing called fainting baby disorder.
Oh, I read about this with you.
No.
Where I would hold my breath and make myself pass out.
That's so scary.
When I felt anxious or uncomfortable, and how traumatizing for my mother.
I had the same thing, but the opposite. I would throw temper tantrums. So we had different outlets.
I genuinely do think that, not just because it sounds like something I should say, but because I genuinely feel this way and always have, that my anxiety has always been my greatest motivator and the thing that has pushed me to have an extremely dedicated work ethic and very ambitious from the get-go, because I was just so, I had so, like, I would get out of bed, I'm like, I gotta get up, no one's pushing me or pressuring me or any of the things that, you know, it was 100% me who wanted to go full steam ahead.
See, that's crazy, because my anxiety was the exact opposite. My anxiety was detrimental to my forward movement. It fucked me up. I mean, it still does. When I get anxious, I get super tight. Only recently things are shifting with me with that.
You know, I really like this company. I like this. My number one reason why I like this company is what they do for giving back. I think that's amazing. It's one of the reasons why I would recommend Third Love. Third Love is a bra company. They do like half cups, half. It's like every size you could imagine. You go on, you do a whole like fit quiz. And
online?
Then, yes, you go online, and then they kind of encourage you to go in a direction that they think would support you the best. Mm-hmm. They're giving back.
No, they've donated 15 million, over right. 15 million in bras.
Right. They take their gently used and they give them to women in need.
My wife did the Third Love situation, and I don't know much about bras, you know, but I do know about support, and I emotionally support her while Third Love physically supports her. So together, Third Love and I are the perfect support system.
Every customer has 60 days. If they don't like it, they can send it back.
Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/sibling now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/sibling for 15% off today.
Oh, I just want to travel.
Oh my God.
I just want to get on that plane and go somewhere so nice. I want to go. I want to go. I want to go away. I want to go away.
Away with me.
Don't you want to go away?
Oh my God, I'd love to go away.
When you go away, what do you take with you?
Whatever fits in my away bag.
Oh.
Which is a lot. I can fit stacks and stacks of clothing. And I can strap down these clothes. And I can basically take my entire chest.
Yeah, and you know what? It's got that durable exterior. It can withstand the roughest of baggage handlers and people just throwing bags around. So it does come with an interior organization situation.
Mm-hmm. And it's got a USB so you can charge your shit. Phones, earbuds, whatever it is
you need. I need to charge my shit. Listen.
Okay.
It's a TSA-approved combination lock that keeps all your belongings safe.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they can look at it, but
There's all kinds of different colors as well. Beautiful, muted,
yeah, nice
but
color.
Nice. I love it. Start your risk-free 100, I repeat, 100-day trial and shop the entire Away lineup of travel essentials, including their best-selling suitcase at awaytravel.com/sibling. Okay?
That is awaytravel.com/sibling.
Right.
Now, you want to also say that there's free shipping and returns.
Right. So go to awaytravel.com/sibling and receive your 100-day trial. Go now. Run, don't walk.
We kind of went off on this tangent. We're like, you, right off the bat, wanted to be an actress, clearly. When do you remember when you were like, oh yeah, that's what I want to do?
I don't think I have that moment where, you know, I read often, so often, like these very earnest interviews of people I admire being like, I watched that Katharine Hepburn movie and I said, that's me, I want to do that. You know, like, I love Katharine Hepburn, of course. Greatest actress of all time. But it was, I would play Barbies and I would cry when Barbie was down on her luck and the Jeep would break down and Ken just had a Ken cup and no penis. No, I really did. I always wanted to do it. But that being said, my grandmother, who I think is like the, is and always will be like my greatest inspiration, my hero. She was an amazing artist and she would always say to me, she was kind of woo-woo and kind of wacky and lived in Montana and slept all day and painted all night. And was,
sounds great. She was weird. You would have loved her.
And awesome. She thought, wow.
I want to be,
really
I want to just get weirder and weirder as I get that. Older, like half dance. Like
oh, that's, a, yeah, that was she was her. Fucking
she wore She wore kitten heels to walk from her house into her art studio in the dead of winter in Montana in like 3 feet of snow. She would wear like a kitten heel and like Audrey Hepburn kind of black pants and like a caftan.
Oh, that's so
she was brilliant in so many different ways, but she would always say to me as like a young girl, she was like, I know you want to act, but it's gonna drive you crazy because you're gonna want to do other things too, and you gotta figure that out. You gotta like keep nurturing these other parts of your personality, these things like I loved fabrics and textiles and painting. I was really obsessed with.
Zoe's an incredible painter. She won't like acknowledge it, but she's like a brilliant painter. Really? Yeah, I have a painting of hers in my house, and everyone when they walk into my house, they're like, "What the fuck is that?" Like it's powerful.
But
very
and also
powerful
business,
painting.
Like I really, I so admire you. Honestly, all the different avenues and different things, and as a businesswoman, and as a and people, you know, who you and Reese, who like I look at it and I go, oh, you actually can't. It's exhausting, I'm sure, but you go, okay, like I can do that. I can have a family, and I can make that a huge main focus of my life, but also have a business, and also produce, and also act, and do all these things. And that I'm starting to understand more what my grandmother was trying to say to me, which is that you want so much from life and you can have it and you can do it and go out and do it. And
No, you were saying that because I was asking you about that one moment in your life.
Probably when the Zach and Cody Sweet Life. That was probably the moment, right?
Yeah. Like, wait, what? Yeah. You were
like, my first job was in the Disney Channel.
Oh, right.
Which, oh, that's
when
right.
You were
I have
like,
a sweating problem and I'm literally sweating so much right now. Anyway, I did my first job was on this Disney Channel show and they would
wait,
always
how
put
old were you?
I was 14. And I was in a performing arts high school and I was like very cool to be working and whatever. And I was so excited. And they put you on these tight fucking shirts. And I was like, oh shit. And it's a live audience and a whole thing. And so in between, like the most shameful thing ever, in between live tapings, in front of a giant audience, they're like five PAs are blow drying my armpits.
Oh my God.
While
that's
I'm sitting
been my
there.
Life story.
But yeah, I didn't answer your question. Anyway, I always wanted to act. I don't know. Do you have an exact moment?
Well, I remember watching Jodie Foster in Silence of the Lambs, The Accused, and I just always felt that she was so engaged and so and very powerful.
That's how I felt about your mom in First Wives Club.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
That's like our favorite movie.
So funny.
I just can't even put into words how important. I know it seems silly, like, you know, I want to have some sort of. It's like when people ask me my favorite movie, I'm like, it's Anchorman, like 100%, like the things that I really am like, they
great.
Changed my life.
That's great.
Are like,
I agree.
That's so
I
funny.
Totally,
I get that.
I have a facelift because of the
because,
I,
yeah.
Oh, God.
It's
that's
so
crazy.
Because,
wow.
Oh, my God. That is crazy.
When did you girls connect? Meaning, like, you
well,
hated
it sounds
each other.
Like we're still trying to figure it out.
But you guys hated each other, and then when was it like, oh my God, you are my home girl for life, and you're not only my sister, but I want you to talk to you every day, and you're my best friend.
When we started living next door to each other.
When was that?
7 years, 6 years ago, right?
Are you still next door to each other?
Yeah.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, but we see each other every day.
For I think when we made a movie together, that was a really cool experience because it was, we got to see each other in our working environment, and we also got to act together, which was like one of the great joys of my life personally, to hit the ball back and forth with you. I didn't really realize it, it was really special because we would like be in the middle of the scene and all of a sudden I would turn to, you know, get out of the shot or whatever, and I'd see our DP who operated also. He would have like his head in his shirt like this, like crying, laughing, trying not to ruin the take. And I would walk out of the room and go to Village, and everyone in Village would just be like staring at the monitor. There was some kind of really special magic that happened when we got to hit the ball back and forth that I did not think would occur, because a lot of the time chemistry is weird like that. You know, it doesn't, just because you have a relationship doesn't denote that it's going to appear on screen or on camera. That was really special for me. I felt like I got to know you better as a person by going through that process together. So maybe it was just me.
But that was a transition of
sorts. For me, it was.
Well, do you guys have the same friends? Like, do you share friends?
Not really. I mean, we share friends in that, like, last night I came over and I, like, love your friends and they feel like family to me, but I don't think you have that with my friends.
But they're not, you guys don't share, like, a best mutual friend?
No. We're very lucky in that I still have like the same four best friends from kindergarten, and Zoe still has the same like three best friends from like third grade or something. Yeah. So we have, that's nice. That is one thing.
One from kindergarten. No one ever says this about
LA. People in LA who grow up in LA, it's like you keep those friends. Oh, yeah. Your whole life.
My whole life.
But no one ever talks about that because everyone thinks of LA as being like flitty and like achievement obsessed. And but me and everyone that I know that grew up in the city.
Yeah, we're tight.
So tight with the same people for 25 years.
So do you, you live next to each other. So clearly you talk almost every day, or is it the kind of thing where you live next to each other, but sometimes you'll go 2 weeks and not have even talked to each other?
No, we see each other every day. If I'm in town, if I'm here, you're here.
Are you girls going to work together again? Do you have anything that you're interested in together?
Maddie said yes to, I'm developing a scripted podcast, and Maddie's writing it with a couple people.
Oh,
so
cool.
She's starting the writer's room in a couple weeks.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do a speed round. Okay, one word to describe each other. You do Maddie.
Should we say it at the same time?
Yeah, one, two, three. Smart.
Fierce.
Ooh, I like it. What causes the most fights?
One, two, three.
Clothing.
Yeah. Well, she perfect segue. Who has the better?
Too.
Who has the better closet to raid?
Oh my god, Zoe!
Zoe,
1,000%. She, well, now that she's like a nudie star, she just gets sent so much shit.
What do you mean,
all the time?
A nudie.
I feel like it's weird to say movie star, so we say nudie star.
Oh, I thought
you're a nudie star.
I did in kindergarten say to everyone, because my mom was in movies that I couldn't see. I told everyone in kindergarten that my mom was in adult movies.
That's amazing.
And then finally the teacher was like, Leah, I have to talk to you. So the kids are going home and telling their parents that you're a porn star.
That's funny.
Who gives better fashion advice?
Maddie.
I think I do. I think I'm good with like sort of like the whole picture. Like I'm able to zoom out and be like, have like the vision for the thing and be like, this is, I think, how you execute.
So when you go to an event, if she's at an event, do you be like,
I FaceTimed her. I was at a fitting for Vanity Fair or whatever right before this. I FaceTimed her from it, and it was a dress that she had picked out for me like a while ago. And I was like, I got it for you. Are you proud of me? Do you love me now, Maddie?
It is really fun though. We'll sit now because it is sweet. And this is one thing I'll just say, knowing Zoe as a little kid, it was so sweet. My mom used to just draw outlines and add little tabs and let Zoe make her own paper doll clothes. She would help her sew and make her own Barbie clothes. Like, Zoe's always loved fashion. So for me as her older sister, I think it's so sweet, and it makes me so happy to see that there's sort of been this like roundabout kind of backdoor entrance to being able to work with really important people in fashion, because I know that was always important to her. But it's not like you went to school for design or are a designer, but you get to
I didn't go to school.
Work.
I know you guys over there.
Right.
No. But
I know you're saying
cool because there's like an art to it, and it's very special.
I have to find, because I have pictures throughout my life of outfits that I would wear. We've got to find these pictures. I mean, my outfits were out of control, but like out there. Like I was like, I would wear cowboy boots, a spree cat suits with cute. Like neon.
I'm into that.
With like tight skirt and like a puffy jacket.
Oh, like, yeah.
I mean, that's like the kind of stuff.
My little normal. Daughter.
I don't ever feel good in tight dresses. I feel like, look at me. I'm in a fucking prairie dress and sneakers. Like, I can't.
Zoe really does have this weird thing where her peak aesthetic is just Amish. Like, no, or I'll be like, hey, she'll be like, turtleneck, bonnet. Other bonnet, bonnet in the back, bonnet in the pocket, full length.
Or like lawyer.
We go long sleeve.
Like we go, people like want to go to the club. Basket. And I like she's holding a back in like a full suit.
Zoe only has two aesthetics: Amish or corporate defense lawyer.
Who's more bossy?
Oh, Maddie.
I am gonna respectfully disagree on that and say Zoe
are bossy. 100% bossy.
You're also really
only
bossy.
Only with men. I'm really bossy with men.
It's Zoe, you're really bossy across the board. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to call you out on
bossy
this one.
With your boyfriends, men, or bossy just men boots? In general?
All men.
Men in general. She, like, no, I'm you're bossy very bossy in general, with men, and it's not
period.
It's not
I'm
cute.
Disagreeing with
really?
You.
Really?
I just, it's like a, I, yeah, I should work on it.
I have to disagree.
Okay, who is better at making decisions?
Maddie. Me.
I'm super indecisive.
Yeah, I'm very
decisive. Very opinionated, but very indecisive, and she's very decisive.
Very decisive.
Who's the better secret keeper?
Zoe.
Me.
Oh, you can't
I'm
keep
a vault.
A secret?
I can keep a secret, but she's a fucking Scorpio, so she is just like it's under lock and key.
You tell me something, I will never, ever, ever repeat it.
Very I'm kind of like that, too.
What about this? Who has more secrets?
Clearly,
do you think you have more
Zoe,
secrets, or do you have more
based
secrets?
On your guys's
not between each other? I'm saying just in general.
I think I keep secrets even from myself, so maybe.
Yeah, I think it's probably.
I don't
you.
Even know what I've done.
It's so crazy.
It's very meta.
Who's messier?
I'm messier, but I'm actually very clean. It's just that Maddie is OCD.
Yeah, but you're OCD about different stuff. So I'm technically cleaner, but we're OCD about different stuff. Zoe needs to like touch the doorknob. She thinks all her candles are on in her house. She'll text me 30 minutes later and go, "Can you go to my house and make sure I didn't burn the house down? I thought I left all my candles on."
Okay, who's more laid back?
We're both really fucking uptight.
Okay.
Sorry.
Great. Right. Okay. Who's better at Instagram captions?
It used to be Maddie, and now it's me.
Okay, because Zoe, my Instagram is serious and Zoe's Instagram is not. I shoot a lot of film, and so I don't try to be also funny with the captions. I'm just posting the film that I shoot. But Zoe is like trying to be funny and likable with all of her captions. So it's like...
Here's the thing.
Look, she's
so
looking
funny.
At her Instagram now.
No,
I'm like,
literally
making
sure I'm not
going to
be late.
Oliver clearly is better at his Instagram captions than I am because he's hilarious. But like, I go through phases where I'm really like on it in terms of my captions and on it in terms of posting. And other times where I'm like, I just can't be bothered. Like, I just want to like put the picture out and like do an emoji.
I do that. It's very
yeah, that's
freeing.
Perfectly fine.
It's freeing when you do no
that's
caps.
Perfectly I know. Fine.
Fuck you. I don't give a fuck.
You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to do that.
I don't give a fuck about hashtags.
I'm just going to, you know what I'm going to do now? I'm just going to write no cap.
Yeah. Well, you caps. Know what that means though?
No.
No cap means no lie. That's what I just found out.
What does that mean?
Like no cap? That means like I'm not lying. That's like a thing.
Like a new thing?
Oh, cool.
I don't know.
That could work. Who's funnier?
Zoe's going to say herself.
I am funnier than you.
No,
I am funnier than you.
I'm so neurotic. I'm way more apt to approach something in like a, you know, the Larry David way. Although I will say I just was having a really long conversation with someone about this where I was like, I don't understand. So for me, like people watch Curb Your Enthusiasm and like really love it and enjoy it. And I'm like, for me, it stresses me out because I'm like, that's just dad like freaking out about our dad freaking out about something.
That's so funny.
Right. But so to me, I don't find a neurotic old Jew like hilarious. I find it like, oh God, this is why I am the way that I am. So I just think it's really interesting that the show appeals to so many people. Like so many people think he's hilarious, whereas like I watch it and I'm like having a mental breakdown.
But it's that Seinfeld model. It's taking the mundane. It's taking that
right,
sort of
right.
thing that you think about every day in life, and he exposes it. Like, why are we doing this? Why is the soup?
Like, why don't you put a napkin on the table? You got to put the utensils on the napkin. Okay, who's better at following rules?
Neither of us.
Okay, nobody follows rules. Who wins in a fight? Wow.
That's the thing that we were talking about. It's David and Goliath. It's David and Goliath.
Separately, we both win. But together, we both lose.
Separately, we both win. Separately, we both lose the... No, separately, we both win the fight. Together, we both lose the fight.
Yeah.
It's like fire with fire with the two of us. Yeah.
So separately, we win. Together we lose.
Yeah.
That's the slogan.
That's our joint autobiography.
So I'm moving out and we're not going to be living next to each other. And no mas. We're going to take a
new mas.
Okay. What advice would you give sisters that go at it a lot or that sometimes have moments where they're, you know, or sisters that are estranged from each other?
My motto is that my number one relationship in my life forever, no matter what, is my sister. That's it. So no matter how hard or how mad or how weird things get, like, I need to work through this with you because you are my life partner. No matter what dude or friend, anything, job, whatever, you're the priority and my relationship with you is the priority because that's that.
That's why we need to go to therapy.
No, but I mean that. I think that it's such a blessing that, you know,
no, it's true.
That
you
we're given a life.
You get your person. You get your person because I think I heard this. Maybe you guys were saying this on one of your podcasts where it's like only one other person knows what it was like to grow up in the house or to grow up with the circumstances surrounding your parents or the texture or the color or the culture of how you grew up in that house. So only the two of you are really going to find certain stuff funny. Only the two of you are really going to find certain stuff sad. Like, it's that weird, specific tether. So, yeah, I mean, it is. I think it's the most important relationship in my life for sure. But the advice that I would give to people who are, like, really, really fighting is I would say look at the dynamic with your parents. Like, because I think sometimes if you remove what's going on with your parents with the two of you, then you can get to it just between you both. But sometimes you don't realize you're locked in like a dynamic that may or may not be healthy with the parents. And you don't realize it because it's the way it's always been. But I would say like look at that first and then try to cut
that
up.
I love that.
That's good. Okay, yeah. We also asked this to everybody.
So this one is the one that makes us not special, but the last one we were special.
Yeah. Yes. That was very, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
That was the first
time. That's how I translated.
Right. No, it's you. Wow, wow, yeah, wow. You're very special.
Yeah, that was how, wow, 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 wow.
Okay, cool.
So it's a two-parter. What would you like to take from your sister to alleviate something from her life? And then.
Like something you would alleviate to
something that
make
you would
her
take away, whether it's stress or something. Yeah. And then what? Wow. And then on the flip side of that, what would you want to take from her for yourself that you wish you had?
That's a fascinating question.
Zoe?
I gotta go.
Zoe's like, I'm late.
No, it's not that. This is a
deep,
really,
that's
really
deep,
hard question.
That's a deep question. That's not like a fluffy, cutesy question.
No.
Yeah, but you can go fluffy with it.
You can do whatever you want.
I would take from Oliver his ability to be like, you know, his like, fuck it mentality and, you know, being like his sense of humor and his self-deprecate, his ability to like make people laugh and all that.
You mean you want that?
Yeah, that'd be something that I wish I had more of his sort of
and
like,
I would
fuck
take,
it.
I would take her sort of fearlessness, just sort of, you know, whatever's in my way. I'll plow through it. I'll get through it. I'll get over it. I'll make it better. I'm fearless.
I would take, if I could steal something from your playbook, I would steal your ability to not dwell. I mean, I think there's some things that really stick with you and you dwell on them, but like for the most part, you just have a really amazing ability to be like, fuck it, next, moving on. Like, I don't have the same thing. I have to write a movie about everything because I can't stop with the, like, let's get into all the details and the minutia of, I mean, it's what makes me who I am, but I envy so much the ability to just be like, we're just gonna, like, it's another chapter. Like, let's continue forward. And that I do not really have that. I wish I did.
And what would you take from
I can't finish a sentence. Like, I can't construct one sentence without, like, I'm like, like I sound so I can't speak
articulate.
It's not true.
Articulate is the word you're looking for.
Wait a minute.
You love to have the articulation.
And you know what, actually more than that, what's deeper than that is I would like to feel worthy of people's time and worthy of people's attention in that way. I think that if I'm not doing a dog and pony show, then people aren't going to pay attention. So I either say something funny or flippant or whatever, just so that I can, or chop it all together. I don't, and it's super, you think about things before you say them in a way that I don't, that I'm super envious of. I'm very smart. And you're very smart.
Yeah.
I just don't string words together in the way that you do, I wish I did.
But you know what I think it is? And this is the thing that I wish I could alleviate for you or remove, is I think there's a core belief that what you think about the world around you, like, doesn't, like, that it doesn't hold enough weight or as much weight as maybe what somebody else thinks about the world around them. Mm. Like, that's why I think you maybe do the dog and pony show, because you're like, I want to add accessories to this. I want to decorate it. And I think there's like a fear that if you just delivered really what you thought without ornamentation, without the spectacle, that it might not be like enough. But it is, obviously, because you're so, so smart and so interested in the world around you. You ask so many questions. You're so curious. You want to know all the layers, all the things. But I think that's what it might be, like a core belief that without all this other stuff around it, it's not enough, I think.
Probably because I don't feel like I'm enough.
Maybe.
I think that's kind of a common theme for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. I'm raising
my hand. I think everybody
has
that. Of course.
Everybody has that.
I think it's like a natural.
Well, yeah. Self-worth.
Honestly, a human thing. I mean, you think of all the time, like, what person has not gone to therapy who's realized that they feel like they're not enough?
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, like, for sure.
At some point, whether it's culturally, a society, the community, our parents, we all have this collective thing of like, maybe we're not worth what this is, or you know, we can
then
do better.
Comes religion, which we didn't even talk about.
God.
Which is what we don't feel like we're enough.
What would you alleviate?
I think, and this is, we talk about this a lot. You see people in a really, really interesting, evolved way, and you examine them and you sometimes judge them, and it's because you judge yourself so harshly. And if I could take one thing away, it would be to not judge yourself so harshly, because you're really fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite person in the world. But you judge yourself so harshly, and also in turn judge other people pretty harshly. And I know you're working on that so much, and I'm so proud of you. And you really, you want to alleviate yourself of this, and that is really cool.
I think that's the hardest thing about growing up is, like, I was saying to someone the other day, and then I promise I'll shut up. There's like, there's awareness, and there is willingness, and like a river hath runneth through them. Mm-hmm. Like, in order to get from the banks of awareness to the banks of willingness.
That's so,
like,
funny.
There is a journey, like, you have to build the bridge across that river, and it's like a painful bridge, right? Like, because you can have all the self-awareness in the world of like, I know I do that thing that's self-destructive. I know I've got this issue. I know I got that thing. But the willingness to do something about it, or to change your behavior, or to adjust, is like a whole other ball of wax.
Yeah.
So I think they're very separate. And I think what stops people is going across from like one to the other.
It's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But
I like that.
I'm like, I live for a fucking metaphor, kids.
It's good.
I've gotten that from this.
Live for a metaphor.
There's a sweater. We got a sweater.
We got a river.
The sweater, the river. We got it all.
So before we leave, what are you guys working on now?
Oh God, I have all these movies that I've written that I'm trying to get made. So it's just like a slog.
Is there one in particular that you're just like, one day this shit's gonna get done?
I think all of them are gonna have their journey, but I did adapt that I'm supposed to direct a New York Times bestseller. It was a young adult novel called Crank that was like huge when I was in high school. That is a lot about addiction, and I've had a really interesting journey with that growing up around it. And so I feel like I've got a really a glance on it that I think is cool and interesting. So that book is like really beloved. So I feel like if I can get that one off the ground, I think people will be excited about it.
Oh, fun.
Yay, good.
And you?
Yeah, I have a movie called Buffalo. It's a movie that I produced.
Did you shoot it in Buffalo?
No, I shot it in Toronto. But I bought all the outfits from thrift stores in Buffalo. I'm very proud of it. I love it. It's super wacky and wild and high octane. And I sweat a lot while shooting it because I was wearing polyester suits.
And
that's what you want to
What do. Is it about?
Watch it.
Log line.
How's that for a pitch? It's about a girl who grows up in Buffalo, New York, which is one of the main jobs in Buffalo. They're all debt collectors. And she was tortured and destroyed by debt collectors growing up. So she became obsessed with money and kind of has all these side hustles. And as a result, one of them goes off the rails. She goes to jail, gets out. The only job she can get is as a debt collector. So she becomes the thing that destroyed her entire existence to begin with. But she's very
really like brash, super like no bones about it comedy, which I think is fun because I think sometimes people are too afraid to be like, it's a comedy. Like they want to be like cynical and like sardonic about it. And I just feel like it's like out there funny.
Love it.
Well.
Thank you, girl.
You guys, this was so fun.
That was awesome.
You guys.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Love you guys.
You're the best. This was so fun.
Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson, Oliver Hudson, and Sim Sarna.
Supervising producer is Allison Bresnik.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.